Morning, everyone. I'm going to be reading two readings today. The first one is Isaiah 6, 1 to 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the sound of their voices, at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And then the second reading, which is Luke 5, verses 8 to 10. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people."
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Vicky. It's great. Thank you. Okay. Well, thank you all for your participation so far. And I'm going to invite a little bit of participation with just my first question this morning. So feel free to respond to this in the chat if you'd like to. Obviously, you can just quietly nod or agree to this if it's true for you. But my first question this morning is this. Have you ever felt called to something? Perhaps to a vocation, perhaps to a career or a cause, or even a particular group of people that you felt called to in some way. And that can mean all kinds of things to different people, but I just wonder if anyone has ever felt called to something. The Bible is full of call stories, of God calling people in all kinds of ways to all kinds of tasks and people and groups. You think of Abraham called to get up and go, and Moses and Deborah and Joshua and Gideon and all these people that God called to a specific task or a specific place at a certain time. And then you get to the Gospels and Jesus calls people to follow him, all kinds of people. And notice he doesn't ask them to just wear a badge that says Christian. But he calls them to do something, to continue the work that he has started. There's a great verse in John 15, verse 16. It says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." And I really believe that to be a Christian is to be called, to be known by God, set apart for the work of God, and responding to God at work in our lives, to God's Spirit in our lives. And I think that's something that's so important to the life of faith, to have a sense that we are called people. So we're not just trying to defend a religion, a worldview, an ideology. We're not part of, as Liz often puts on a slide, a call to worship slide, we're not part of a cozy club. But in all of our doubts, our weaknesses, our feelings sometimes of inadequacy, we are called, in Paul's words, to be his holy people together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, we're looking particularly at the call or commission of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 6:1-8 is concerned with this calling of the prophet. And it's at a time in Judah of rampant injustice and unrighteousness among God's people. Isaiah 1:16-17 sums up well the first few chapters before the chapter we get to this morning of Isaiah's message. And it says this: "Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow." And this was Isaiah's message to the people. But at the start of chapter 6, Isaiah has this dramatic vision of God and is commissioned to speak God's word. And what I want to do this morning is unpack this a little bit in three parts. I think there are three parts to Isaiah's calling or vision that I want to touch on that actually I found really helpful in understanding what it means to be one who is called by God. The first part of the vision is in the first few verses. And in it, Isaiah sees the Lord high and exalted. He sees him high and exalted over and above the temple, which was God's earthly throne. And we're told that he sees God's robes filling the temple, this picture of majesty and fullness. You imagine these kingly robes, and length would of robes would have symbolized, I guess, greatness and majesty. And we get this picture of fullness. The robe itself fills the temple. And interestingly, we're told that this is in the year that King Uzziah died. And this is meaningful because King Uzziah was one of four kings that Isaiah lived through the reign of. And Uzziah was thought to be a good king generally. His reign spanned 5 decades, and he generally did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. I say that because we're often told that someone did right or wrong in the eyes of the Lord. But King Uzziah came to a tragic end when pride led to his downfall. And you can read about this in 2 Chronicles 26. And what happened is this, that King Uzziah entered where? He entered the temple of the Lord, the very place that Isaiah has this vision. And he burns incense on the altar of the Lord. He took his position of power and he abused it. This was something that only the priests that were consecrated were allowed to do. And it leads to King Uzziah's downfall. And Isaiah's vision is of the true king in his temple. The second part of this vision of the Lord, Isaiah sees the seraph. And they were flying, these strange winged creatures. And they're singing that great song, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory." And again, you get a sense of just how overwhelming this vision was. God's train had filled the temple, and now Isaiah sees God's glory filling the whole earth, way beyond temple, way beyond Judah, filling the place of their enemies, the whole earth being full of the glory of God. And this is really important because Isaiah's call doesn't start with him. It starts with God. And it starts with a vision of the glory, the holiness, the majesty of God. God's holiness would have been his righteousness and justice, his otherliness. So this is what the vision starts with. And then the second part of Isaiah's vision is to do with his response to what he's seen. Perhaps you've not had an experience like Isaiah. I haven't. I've not had something so dramatic in my life. The closest I've come to this is what Lindsay mentioned this morning, those moments in nature where I'm completely overwhelmed by the size and grandeur and majesty of what I'm seeing. And a lot of people have experiences like that. And it's truly humbling. It relocates us in creation, where perhaps we've overestimated our part in the world. And in this second part of the passage, Isaiah experiences his own unrighteousness and injustice in light of God's holiness. I don't know about you, but I've been with people in my life who just being in their presence has highlighted something in my life that I wasn't particularly happy or proud with. I've got a particular friend who is so integrous when it comes to what he will say about people when they're not there. And I've been in situations where he has called groups of people out and said, we're not talking about that person when they're not here. And I remember being in that situation and feeling so convicted about times that I'd done that in my life. Being in the presence of such integrity highlighted my own lack of integrity in that area. What's really interesting here is that if you look in chapter 5, 6 times Isaiah pronounces woes on people who have been acting unjustly or unrighteously. 6 times he says, woe to those, woe to those. For example, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. But here, in light of God's glory and holiness, Isaiah says, woe to me, I am ruined, for I am one of unclean lips. Now, that sounds a bit heavy, doesn't it? But actually, that experience wasn't to shame or diminish Isaiah. It wasn't to, as he said, to ruin him. The whole point of this was to restore him, to prepare him, to heal him and forgive him. You know, it's been said you can't heal that which you don't acknowledge. And I think that experience of the glory of God brought into the open what needed to be healed. And in this vision, the seraph, these strange creatures, they pick up live coal with tongues from the altar. That's going to hurt, isn't it? They can't even hold it themselves. They use these tongues to bring these burning coals to touch Isaiah's lips, to purify, to refine him, to cleanse him of his sin. And forgiveness can be like that. Forgiveness can be painful. Exposure can be painful, but it can also be incredibly healing. And they touch his lips with the coal and say, your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Isaiah has experienced the glory of God, and now he's experiencing the gratuitous mercy of God. If you noticed, Isaiah there doesn't do anything to deserve it. Isaiah doesn't bring a gift or sacrifice. In previous chapters, he's prophesied saying, stop bringing your gifts, your sacrifices. They're meaningless to me if you're not going to act justly and do mercy, love mercy. And here, Isaiah himself, in light of his own unrighteousness, experiences the sheer grace and mercy of God. As painful as that was, it was an act of mercy. So that's the second part of this vision. And then in the third part, we have this calling of Isaiah. And this is, it's unusual as calling stories go in the Bible, because it's framed as a question. God asks the heavenly court, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And Isaiah says, here I am, send me. What I really love about this is that God isn't cajoling Isaiah. He's not demanding that Isaiah speak his word. Isaiah is going to respond in light of what he has just experienced. You think of Moses, who had to be you know, kept trying to convince God, no, though, please don't send me. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this work you're calling me to. Or Jonah that Leon spoke about last week, running a mile from God's call. This is far from it. Almost instinctively, Isaiah says, here am I, send me. I'm reminded of a quote that I heard years ago. I mentioned that I really love quotes. And you've probably heard this yourselves, that God doesn't look for ability so much as availability. And this third part of Isaiah's call is about Isaiah's availability. And he's available ultimately in response to what he has received, what he has experienced. A vision of the greatness and glory of God, and an experience of the mercy and goodness of God. So in this sense, calling isn't about our greatness. It wasn't about Isaiah's greatness. It was about God's greatness. And it wasn't about Isaiah's goodness. He wasn't good. He realized that. It was about God's goodness, God's compassion and mercy. And it wasn't about Isaiah's ability. Nowhere are we told, oh, Isaiah, you're a fantastic preacher. You do it. It was about his availability, his willingness to say, yes, I will go for you. So Isaiah's call is in response to the grace and the glory of God. You know, later on, Paul will write, Paul, the apostle who had a similar experience, who met with Jesus on the road to Damascus, realized his own sin and unrighteousness and experienced the sheer goodness and forgiveness of God. And later on, Paul wrote, Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. And Jesus himself said, he who is forgiven much will love much. There's this response to the goodness of God in our lives. And calling isn't about what we can do. It's about responding to what God has done and who God is in our lives. Vicky read for us as well, Luke chapter 5. And in this chapter, it's about the calling of the first disciples. And Vicky read a part of that. But it starts with Jesus teaching in a boat. And he tells Simon, who becomes Peter, to put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon argues with him and says, you know, we've been doing this all night. We know what we're doing. We're fishermen. We've been working hard. But because you tell me to, I'll do it. And of course, they catch such a large amount of fish that the nets begin to break. And Simon's response to seeing this glory almost of God, this goodness of God, is similar to Isaiah's. He says, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. And how does Jesus respond? He says, do not be afraid. And he commissions the disciples in a sense. He says, from now on, you will catch men or men and women. Do not be afraid. That's what it means to be called. Do not be afraid. That's the enduring word of the Bible. Don't be afraid because God is with you and God knows you and calls you by name. Don't be afraid because God loves you and forgives you and has mercy on you. And don't be afraid because you are called for a purpose. Your life has meaning. Now, you may never have a calling experience like the prophet Isaiah. That dramatic. I hope you do. I'd love to. Wouldn't that be amazing? Not the hot coals bit so much, but the rest of it. But we're given a vision. What we are given is a vision of God's glory in Christ, giving his life for the world. And in Christ, we do see our own shortcomings, like Isaiah. But we can also experience incredible mercy. Because God wants to heal us. God wants to recreate in us the image of God that we see in Christ. And in Christ, we are called to follow, to continue the work of God, to respond and say, here am I, send me. So today, may you have eyes to see the glory and the goodness of God. And may you know the mercy and grace of God. And may you know that you are called for a purpose to bear fruit. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you don't just call us to be Christians, to wear a badge, to be part of a group. Lord, you call us to be your disciples, your followers. And you equip us to continue the work of Jesus, the work of God's kingdom, of righteousness and justice, of love and compassion, of seeing your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, thank you that you don't require perfection of us. We could never attain that. But instead, you heal us and you continually offer out to us your grace and your mercy. So today, Lord, help us to respond to that call, Lord, to know that we are called people. In Jesus' name, amen.